Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
I'd ask you to open up to two places. One would be Genesis chapter 12, and two would be Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, reading it out of the New International Version, it says, I want to know Christ. How about you? To know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings. Now listen, we're not called to suffer, not the way He did. And yet, how many of you know that sometimes when we're dealing with things, certainly with people, there can be some suffering involved? For example, when somebody is persecuting you at work or family members or something like that, and you want to haul off and throw them through the closest window, but instead, inside, the Spirit of God says, forgive, bless them, do good to them, pray for them. Well, now your flesh may suffer a little bit over that. See, that's what it's talking about here. It's not talking about sacrificing yourself for Christ. That's not what it's talking about. He sacrificed Himself for us. But that's what it's talking about, the participation of His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this. Now see, this is the Apostle Paul writing this. Now for those of you who don't know, the Apostle Paul was a man called Saul. He was from Tarsus. Saul was a Christian hater. He was more than a Christian hater. He was a serial Christian killer. He actually purposed to kill Christians. He was there when Stephen was being stoned, giving his consent. And he actually went out of his way to get papers and affidavits from the Sanhedrin so he could go out on his own and just murder Christians. This is the man that we're talking about. I like to put a little bit of personal spin on these things so you know the writings of whom we're reading. But you know, Saul on his way to Damascus to kill a bunch of Christians met the Jesus whom he did not believe in. Long story short, Jesus set him right on the way things really are. And so he had a change of attitude. And so he's writing, and he says, not that I've already obtained all this. Obtained what? To fully know the power of Christ and His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and somehow obtaining to the resurrection of the dead. So he says, I've not already obtained all this, or I'm not saying that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press in, I strain to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do. There is something I do. See, he knew that he had a call on his life to go to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He had a call on his life to do things. He knew inside, I know that there's something I have yet to do, something I have to accomplish. Did you know that every one of us has that? There's this thing that God puts inside every one of us. The Word of God tells us, you've been called to receive a blessing. If you read the Scriptures, you'll find out that every minute of our lives has been written down in a book before we were born. That was God's plan for us. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to read that book or follow that plan, but it was written down. I think that's one of the reasons why there's going to be tears in heaven that the Lord has to wipe away. When we've come to a full realization of what God had planned for us, and we did not achieve because we had our own plans. Things that we could have accomplished, people that we could have affected. So Paul says, listen, I don't think I've fully done all of this stuff yet. But I press on to take hold of that which Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider yet to have taken hold of it. See, he knew he had a call of God on him to do some certain things. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. Now, I can understand Well, that would be important to him, seeing as how he killed Christians. Imagine if you were a serial killer. Imagine you might want to put that behind you. Maybe some bad decisions. But this one thing I do, I forget that stuff that's behind. And instead, I strain, I stretch. Pressing forward towards what? Towards what's ahead. I press on towards what's ahead, not what's behind me. What's behind me can't be changed. It's behind me. You know, I think that's why God didn't give us eyes in the back of our head, so we wouldn't keep looking at what's behind us. And I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. All of us then, all of us, every one of us, all of us, all of us who are mature. In other words, have grown up a little bit spiritually. All of us that are mature should take such a view of things. Unfortunately, that's not the view that so many folks take, is it? I should have done this. If only I would have done that. Oh, how different things would be if I could have just only done this. Or if only I had done that. That's not going to help us. It's not about what's behind. It's about what's ahead. Do you understand that every one of the things that we messed up on our life, Jesus forgave us for? But those sins will drag us down. Those mistakes will hold us back. Those regrets will bog us down and mire us in the mud of just depression and regret. He wants us free from that stuff. Leave that stuff alone. Don't worry about that. Don't think about that stuff. Yeah. So you messed up. So what? That's what I came for. I came to fix all that. So what? Forget about it. And those of us who are mature, we're supposed to take that kind of view of things. And if on some point you think differently, God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Let's focus on where are we now? Where am I now as an individual? See, in my life, I mean, I knew that I was called into ministry way back in 1971. You don't get into the right church, you don't hear the right teaching, that'll mess you up. That'll hold you back. Because you understand, in order to move forward into the things of God, you have to grow up in the things of God. It's kind of like a child who was never taught how to read or write. Well, that child grows up, and as that child grows up and gets older and older, there are going to be opportunities that that child is going to miss because he doesn't know how to read or write. Not going to be able to drive. Got to be able to pass a driver's test, right? If you can't read or write, you're not probably going to hold anything other than some kind of menial job because you don't even know how to fill out a decent job application. Just think about that. I mean, we have to grow up in some things, right? And God has plans for us, but we have to grow up in some things. Well, if you're not in the right place, if you're not under the right teaching, you're not going to grow up. As a matter of fact, you can actually be held back. I know I was. I started out believing in a miracle God who wanted to work miracles through me. I believe that because I just read in the Bible where it said, hey, the works that I do, you can do too. Okay, and so I just went out and did them. It was no big deal. Till I had people and pastors and ministers whom I respected telling me, well, that's not for today. That's of the devil. Oh, well, I don't want to do things that are of the devil. I want to serve God. Rob my faith. And so rather than me growing up into things, I was actually held back into some things. And it was decades before I got the truth back. I can too raise the dead. I can too lay hands on the sick and see them be healed. I can too do miracles. Yes, I can. Because it's the same Jesus in me that walked the earth and did miracles. And he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the works that I do, I want you to do too. Now, you know, as I got older and so forth, and then finally came to the realization of, well, man, all these years that I've missed, all this time that I could be ahead, well, see, that started to weigh me down. That started to drag me down. Because, oh man, I lost 20 years. I lost 25 years. What I could have done, where I might be along the lines of my ministry. That stuff will weigh heavy on you. Until the Lord reminded me, don't look back. Look ahead. Focus on what's ahead. Focus on what I've got ahead for you. Amen. Turn back there to Genesis for a second. Let's just look at something real quickly. I want to look at a man whose name was Abraham. How many of you know that God made his name Abraham? He used to be called Abram. Let me show you something here. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, the Ur of the Chaldees, your people and your father's house, to the land I'll show you. Now, I want to explain something to you here. Sometimes we don't really understand what we're reading here. In those days, it was not like it is now. There was safety in your territory, in your clan, to actually get up and leave where you were from your clan, from your tribe, and go somewhere else where there are other people. You're actually putting your life in danger because you understand where you're living, that's where the supply is. You understand you couldn't just, you know, pull over to a 7-Eleven if you wanted a cup of coffee and a donut. They didn't have throughways and interstates. They didn't even have dirt roads. Of course, every road was dirt, I guess. You know, so I guess there was one big road, and it was all dirt and rocks. So here's God shows up to this guy, Abram, and he says, well, hey, listen, no big deal. I just want you to get up from where you are, and I want you to leave this land. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your people. In other words, I want you to get away as far away from this stuff as you can. Get away from here. And then he says this, and here's why. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. So not only is God going to bless him, but he's going to be a blessing. So Abram went, as the Lord told him, and he took his nephew Lot with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old. See, Abram isn't some spring chicken now. He's 75 years old. His wife is 65 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, when I get 75 years old, if the Lord says anything to me when I'm 75 years old, I hope it'll be get up and go to bed. You're tired. But Abram, as the Lord told him, took Lot with him. He was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated and the people that they'd acquired in Haran. I imagine those folks were real excited about it, don't you, if you were a servant? We're living here in Ur. I mean, we got the safety of the city walls. I mean, we've got protection. We're around people we know. We've got our farmlands or our fields. But get up and go. Set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Moreh at Shechem. And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land. So not only have we gotten up and gone into a new land, but there's folks here. And they're not so happy about the fact that we're here. Now, you read a study on the Canaanites. Let me just say this to you. They weren't the most gracious of neighbors. That's the nicest way to say it. They were not nice folks. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I'll give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Now, we all know the story here, how God told Abram to do something, and by following his directions, despite the fact that there were Canaanites in the land, despite all of the hardships that they endured, despite the fact that he's 75 years old, God blesses him in every way. He becomes rich and very, very great. You can read that in the next chapter. And the land actually comes into the possession of Abram's descendants. Now, just imagine the results if Abraham had constantly lamented over what he had left behind in his father's house. I imagine there might have been some different results if Abram had constantly remembered all that he had had in the city of Ur in the Chaldees. Abram's father was a fairly well-to-do guy. But just imagine if Abram, after he had left, if all he did was just think about where he would be had he stayed with his father. I mean, he would have probably assumed all of his father's wealth, all of his father's power, and everything else. Imagine if he had lamented over that, or was always thinking about what was behind instead of what God said he was ahead of him. How far do you think he would have gotten? Amen. See, there's two attitudes here that we can look at. One is an attitude of regret. One is an attitude of what if? Just thinking about all these years and all this time wasted and where I might have been had I done this or had I gone there. Amen. The other attitude is my life that's ahead of me is a blessing because God called me. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, says this, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, some folks have mistranslated that to think that Jesus was poor. They had never read to where they had a money bag and they had a treasurer and his name was Judas and he was a thief and they were supported by several wealthy women. That's not what he was talking about. He wasn't saying, I'm so poor that oh my God, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. That's not what he was talking about. So he said to another man, follow me, but he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And still another said, well, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied this. Now, I want you to think about this and how this applies to what we're talking about. Jesus said this, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You understand that when you plow, you're going forward. You're plowing a furrow forward. That's already plowed back there. And he says, look, anybody who looks back is not fit. Think about that. Do you know why? As the people of God, we're called to live a life of faith and trust in God. Turn over to Joel chapter 2. Well, I've missed so much. I've gotten so far behind. See, I said that to God. I mean, I missed all these years. I could have a great international ministry now. I know I could because you called me all those years ago. I was only 19 years old and you called me into ministry and I'm so far behind. What? I'll never catch up. I'll never get to the place you wanted me to be. How are you going to recover 30 years or 20 years? Let me read something to you in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God says this, I will restore to you the years. Oh, I like that. The years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. That would be the flying locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the crawling locust. There's several different stages of a locust's life. And God says, it's in my power to restore to you the years. Everything that you lost by getting off the path, everything that the devil stole from you through deception and deceit, I can restore them to you. But here's what I want you to do. Quit looking back. Look forward. Listen, you know you've got a call on your life or something. You know that you've got a vision for something. You know that I gave you something. I showed you something. I put something in your heart, something that I want you to do and something you have a desire to do. And it's grown in you, and no matter how much you've tried to push it down or push it out of the way, it's still there. And every now and then it even bugs you. It's like an itch you can't scratch. And that's what it's like because it's not feeling satisfied till you fulfill what God's got for you. And he said, but don't worry about it. He said, I know how to catch you up. I can take everything that you lost, all of that growth, all of that knowledge, all of that revelation, all of that skill, everything, whatever it is that the enemy took from you or you just kind of left by the wayside without even thinking about it, and I can restore it to you, every bit of it. Even better news. Turn forward to Zechariah chapter 9. It gets even better. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. Everything, whatever it is that the enemy took from you, or you just kind of left by the wayside without even thinking about it, and I can restore it to you. Every bit of it. Even better news. Turn forward to Zechariah chapter 9. It gets even better. Because with God, all things are possible to him that will believe. But you understand, faith has nothing to do with what's behind you. When you read about faith and everything that Jesus said about faith, none of it has anything to do with what you should have done, or could have done, or might have done, or might have been, or could have been. It's all about what's ahead of you. That's what faith is all about. In Zechariah chapter 9, in verse 12, he says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope." What do you mean, turn to the stronghold? Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." He's talking about getting your eyes back on God, getting back in your God place. That's what he's talking about. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Well, I've always hoped that I would do this. I've always hoped that I'd be able to go here. I'd always hoped. I always believed that God wanted me to do this or that, and I always hope. Well, he says, okay, well then get back to the stronghold, because today I declare to you that I will render double to you. In other words, anything you think you lost, he'll double it and get it back to you. That's what my Bible says. I like it in the New Living Testament. Come back to the stronghold, all you prisoners who still have hope. How many of you still have hope?
Amen.
Still have hope for what God has planned for you. You still have hope?
Amen.
Well, then come back to the stronghold, every one of you that still has hope. I promise you this very day that I will repay two blessings for every one of your troubles.
Hallelujah.
I like that. I'll restore to you the years that the enemy has stolen through deceit and deception, and I'll restore them to you. Don't think you've lost anything. See, with God, all things are possible. But we got to put our eyes on the future, not looking back. See, that's why Paul said, this one thing I do. I can just imagine the regrets that could have weighed him down, thinking, man, I was a Pharisee. I was raised up. I should have known this stuff. I had 3.5 years that I could have spent with the Lord while he was on earth. Can you imagine that? Because he was there in Israel. I could have spent 3.5 years following him. Instead, I'm off criticizing Jesus and his disciples. I could have spent 3.5 years with him. Can you imagine the regret that must have burdened him? And then to top it all off, I go out and kill his followers. Can you imagine that? Thinking about what he lost, what could have been, what might have been. But God said, hey, listen, don't worry about it. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You are going to reach people that even Jesus didn't reach. I'm sending you into the world, and you're going to preach the gospel for me. You know that you and I are results of what Paul did, because we're Gentiles. And so that's why Paul said, listen, I put that stuff behind me. I know that I haven't fulfilled everything that God's called me to do yet, and so I'm going to put all that stuff behind me, and instead I'm going to stretch forward. I'm going to look to what's ahead of me, to what God promised, to that vision that I have inside of me, to what I know is stirring inside of me, to what I know the Lord has called me to do, to the good things, to the good plans, to the blessings, to the success that God has ordained me to be. And I'm not too old, and I'm not too weak, and I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to look ahead, and I'm going to trust him to bring it to pass in my life and forget all that stuff that's behind me. I don't need to be dragging around all this regret with me. You know, Jacob Marley, the ghost from Christmas Carol, dragging that chains of regret, holding him back. That's what a lot of Christians do. So many are looking back at what might have been instead of looking forward to what lies ahead. See, one of these attitudes is going to affect our life. And we decide which one it's going to be by how much time we devote thinking about it. Doesn't the Word of God tell us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is? We can spend time thinking about where we came from, where we used to be, or what might have been, or we can spend our time believing God for what lies ahead. In Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses, he says, "Now unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you're able to even think or imagine." I don't know about you, but I can imagine some pretty good things. Most folks are just thinking way too small. But he says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you can think or imagine. Well, I'm thinking I'd like to do this. Well, he can do better than that. Maybe I'd like to do this. Well, he can do better than that too. Because if you can think about it, he can do more. Amen. So let me read to you again out of Philippians chapter 3. And we'll close with this. "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on forward towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward." So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold on to these convictions. And if in any respect you have some different kind of attitude, God will make it clear to you also. But let us hold true to what we've already attained and walk and order our lives by that. So if we're going to do anything, let's hold fast at least where we are, what we've already attained. Let me just say this to you about running a marathon. It's 26.2 miles. You'll never finish it if all you think about is how tired you are and how far you've come. You have to be thinking about the finish line. Because I'll tell you what, you hit a wall. It's when all of the carbohydrates that you crammed down the night before, the spaghetti and the ice cream, it's when all of the training that you've done, everything else, all the energy in your body goes. And if you can't push through that wall, you're not going to finish the race. And if you don't finish the race, you don't get your cute little medal that says, "I ran the marathon." You don't get to put that little tag on the back of your car that says, and for those of you who don't know, if you see them on the back of your car, it says 26.2. Point is, if that's all you think about, how far you've come and how tired you are, you're never going to finish. Same thing with us in our call from God. If all we think about, how much we hurt and what could have been and what might have been and all that other stuff, never make it. So, let's forget those things that are behind. Let's get back to that plan, amen, that God has for you, to press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.